Ducks and the Flames set to battle in game four tonight. Any lineup changes?
Yeah, we think there will be at least one or two for each side. Looks like Lance Boma, who's been battling a hand injury, is healthy and ready to go. And that's a good add for the Flames. I think he was like 16 goals this season during the regular season. He's a 6'1". You know, he plays a reasonably physical game. So I think they welcome him back into the lineup with open arms. And I believe Granlund is the one that comes out. So we'll wait till game time, but it sounds like that's what's going to happen. And then over on the other side, Fleischman comes in. Emerson Edom goes out. Seacatch will not play tonight. We thought that there was a chance maybe he would come in place of Palmieri, but sounds like Palmieri was just a warning shot across the bow for him. So he will stay in the lineup despite not being on any line rushes yesterday. So a couple changes for each side, but really all of the main participants are still going to be there.
Any update, Giordano, at the earliest next round?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't ask Hartley today. I mean, I watched him real close today in practice. He's just not shooting the puck with any kind of force at all.
Okay.
I mean, he's skating fine, but he should be. But he was working on, you know, getting it in from the point, and there was just very little pepper on his snapshots. Didn't even try any slap shots. If you're going to have him out there, I mean, I can't imagine how his ability to battle and hit and all that is you know, probably going to be diminished if he can't even wind up and take a slap shot from the point. So he doesn't look like he's close. Now, you never know. Sometimes they can, you know, they can work miracles, but I wouldn't guess anytime before game seven, if he's even available for a possible game seven.
The Ducks, you know, it's very interesting that the Ducks lose one game and people in Anaheim were, oh my God, everything's crazy. I was like, whoa, they lost the game. Now, Calgary, of course, has got some life and they'll be re-energized. The two-day break probably came at a great time for Anaheim and a bad time for Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, this series is kind of annoying. I mean, this is the second time they've had 2 days between games.
Yeah.
And I think both sides would kind of like to just be playing every other night. It's just kind of dragging on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think either side really likes the 2 days. Whether you've won or you've lost, it's too long to sit around and think about the next one. So, to be honest with you, I think both would have loved to. I mean, look at the Montreal series. I mean, just bang, bang, back to back, and how the series can just shift so quickly and the emotion stays high. 2 days is too much for my liking, and I don't think any of the players or either side likes it.
Yeah, I would definitely. I know the fan bases don't like it. Well, it's just bad timing with
this
schedule.
And the media doesn't like it either, right? Like, let's get this thing going. You know, we've got we want to cover games and we want to be working and everything, but like this is just dragging it out unnecessarily.
Well, except for your guy's little hot tub date in Banff, that was the only benefit for you and Old Parks. So,
I'd rather be shoveling snow at home.
Well, don't worry, buddy. The shovel's gone. It all melted. It's good.
That's nice.
It was all gone, so that's great. A few other things. Well, hey, let's get to the big story of the day. Mike Babcock has, you know, Detroit gave him two offers, and obviously he said, well, you know what, I'll see what else is out there. I just want to compare. And now Detroit grants him that wish, and he is on the free agent tour, I guess we should say. I would guess we know that there's six teams without a coach that are likely going to contact him. There might be another four or five at least who contact him.
Yeah, well, I thought the timeline was interesting. They gave him till basically the end of May, right?
May 25th.
Yeah, May 25th. So that is pushing pretty close to the end of the third round. I find that interesting just because it's maybe there are some teams who, I mean, the Anaheim Ducks are an interesting one. I mean, a lot of people believe if the Ducks don't get past Calgary that Bruce Boudreau will be let go. And if it's a quick third-round series, even against Chicago, say, I don't know a better place for Mike Babcock to go that would probably be a good combination of a good place for his family, familiar place for his family, and a chance to win. So, I mean, he's got some time here to see what other teams might be in the mix. That's a little bit early. I mean, they're leading Calgary here. They're probably going to get by the Flames. And I mean, who knows? They might still win the Cup for all we know. But it's a good fit for Mike Babcock back in Anaheim for sure. from a family and a professional standpoint. So it's just interesting to me that he's got that long. Like, that's quite a bit of time. I mean, you could easily give a guy 10 days or 8 days or a week, and he'd be able to talk to everybody that he needed to talk to. So he's got some serious time here to try and figure some things out. And I found that timeline interesting.
Yeah, I think they look at that because, you know, you probably want to meet teams face-to-face, right? And so he's going to the what's funny is he's going to the World Championships, and all the reports are he's going there. He wants to watch Dylan Larkin firsthand and some of the other Detroit prospects. And, you know, there's some management teams over there. You know, Peter Shirelli's back. I know he's meeting Todd Nelson in Edmonton this weekend, but I'm pretty sure he'd have no problem going back over to the World Championships if necessary to meet face-to-face.
Yeah, unless he can even squeeze in a meeting with Babcock before he goes, right, which could be a possibility as well. And I know Bob Nicholson's over at the World Championships too, so there's plenty of other content over there right now. No question they're going to talk to him. It's just a matter of when and what's said and what it looks like. I think, you know, what's been reported up to this point about the fit, it all makes sense. The one thing we don't know about is the family aspect of it. We can't speculate as to what his family would like to do. His kids are a little bit older, so really it's Mike and his wife and figuring out, you know, where they want to live and what they want their life to look like. And we can't account for any of that. We know the hockey situation in Edmonton would probably be pretty good. I mean, David coming in, this team on the upswing because of that, new leadership, familiar faces all around, an owner that will pay him as much or more than anybody else out there. All of those are reasons why it's a good fit. But we just don't know what the personal side looks like for Mike Babcock, and that makes it tough.
Yeah, extremely hard for sure. It's, you know, when you look at the teams out there, Ryan, of the teams without coaches, I think Edmonton's probably might be at the top of the list, to be completely honest, followed closely by Philadelphia or Buffalo. But Craig Button brought up Pittsburgh and the New York Islanders as teams. If he was running them, that he would definitely be putting out a call for Mike Babcock's services. And that's why, because of his resume, Ryan, I think, and this is really uncharted waters in the NHL. Right, we've never seen, you know, a top end coach be able to test the free agent waters. I've been expecting this since the start of the season when he didn't accept the deal, and you know, based that on the conversation I had with him a year and a half ago, for him, but also for the fraternity, this is really going to be a life changing few weeks. Every coach is going to be watching this because I don't know if other coaches will even sign until Mike Babcock, Ryan, because he'll set the bar for new contracts.
Well, what do you think it'll look like?
Oh, I'm thinking like, at least $4 million.
Yeah, and it could even be more. I mean, if it's some sort of a feeding frenzy, I mean, we've seen people get ridiculous handing out contracts to people or to players, and it could even be more. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But owners with deep pockets that are looking to make a splash and energize a fan base and all those things. You know, we'll see what the number looks like, but I mean, we've heard lots of numbers thrown around out there, and some are higher than that. Who knows?
Oh, but, I wouldn't be surprised by it getting up to $5 million, maybe even.
Yeah, for sure it could. And I mean, and he's going to probably want significant term as well, right? 5, 6, 7 years. Who knows? So I mean, are you doling out $35 million bucks for a coach? Like, holy smokes! I mean, that's just completely changes the marketplace. Now, I mean, he's incredibly accomplished. I mean, he's made the playoffs all those years. He's won gold medals at the Olympics. He's proven he can win with good teams. He can handle high-end talent. I mean, he's pretty much check off every box. But committing 7 years to anybody to coach.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, what did the Canucks give Torts? 5 years?
Yeah, and then he was gone after one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big commitment. So, yeah, I think the Oilers will put lots of money on the table, but I think they're not going to want to sit around on their hands for 3 weeks either. So I still don't know that it'll take all that time. And I think the Oilers are going to want to get something done sooner rather than later. So they'll get a sense from Babcock if it's a possibility or not. If it's not, I expect they just pull the trigger and get something else done right away.
Well, I think they'd like to, but if you're Todd McClellan and you know you want to go to Edmonton, now, unless you can find, maybe you talk to Mike himself to say, hey, Mike, what do you think you're going to sign for? Because why would you possibly lose, you know, maybe even $500,000 a year? If all of a sudden Mike Babcock gets up to 4.5, Ryan, then, you know, Todd McClellan could probably demand 3 to 3.5.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, I mean, Todd would probably be a couple million bucks a year plus either way. He's a veteran enough coach, and he'd probably be pretty highly sought after. You know, $2.5 million in that range probably isn't going to be ridiculous to consider anyway. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, if he wants to hold out and wait, sure. But, I mean, Mike is the big prize this offseason, for sure he is. And so, does he wait until that number is set and then place his own value based on that? I'm not sure. I mean, I think Todd probably has a pretty good idea what he can get. And Mike might push the bar really, really far, but he hasn't accomplished the same things that Mike has accomplished. So it's not like he can go to arbitration as a coach.
No, no.
I mean, he's got a pretty good idea of what he's worth, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Ryan, all you have to do is look at the free agency and the NHL players. It's a fact. Every year, guys get grossly overpaid, regardless of what they've proven, mm-hmm. right? It happened. What did David Clarkson prove to get $5.6 million and be offered more? You know what I'm saying? So I firmly believe if I'm the agent of a coach, I say, hey, man, I know you want this deal. We got to wait because once that bar changes, everything else changes. Like right now you've got, Quenneville at 2.75, and I think you've got seven coaches at $2 million and then a few guys at 2.5. And Babcock's one of the guys at $2 million. So if he jumps from two to there, right? And I know he's got a Stanley Cup and everything. I understand all that. But the Olympics, I'm not sure if the Olympics can really help you per se, because I don't think playing in the Olympics helps an NHL players, definitely in arbitration, use that for an example. So if I'm an agent, I'm telling my guys, do not sign until Babcock's contract comes down, because Todd McClellan, let's say you say $2.5 million is fair, but after May 25th, $3.5 million might be fair.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be careful. Like, this isn't, he's not a free agent 50 goal scoring or 40 goal scoring center. I mean, he's not. He's a decent coach who has had some regular season success and little to no playoff success. Right? He's got a kind of, I'm sure he's got a sense of what his own value is. I don't think he's looking to absolutely shoot the lights out here with as much money as he can possibly get. I think he's looking for a situation that makes sense, gives him a chance potentially to win in a place that he wants to be. I mean, if Todd McClellan wants to hold out for $3.5 million somewhere because Babcock got five, he might find himself sitting on the sidelines for a little while. I mean, so the Oilers go out and grab Pete DeBoer at 1.75 or some of the other guys that are out there where it's going to be, how much of a difference actually is there. I think he's got to be realistic about who he is and where he's coming from. So I don't think it's quite the same as the frenzy that is created for everybody. The rising tide, how it rises all ships. I think it's true to a degree, but I don't think it's going to be proportionate. Mike Babcock's going to get probably 150, 200% raise here. I don't think Todd McClellan necessarily is expecting that.
Okay, well, I think with that many coaching vacancies, you and I will disagree on that. When you've got seven coaching vacancies and not many coaches outside of Babcock with that better of a track record than Todd McClellan, I think his value is rather high.
Yeah, well, and I mean, look, we might not be even talking about being that far off. I mean, I think that probably between $2 and $3 million is what you'd look to pay for a guy with his experience level and with what he's accomplished. And that is really good money to coach in the NHL. I mean, Joel, he hasn't done what Joel Quenneville's done, so I don't necessarily put him in that range either.
But Ryan, that's not, I agree with what you're saying, but rationally, man, just look at the NHL. It never works that way in free agency. It just doesn't. Guys always get grossly overpaid. They don't get paid based on what other guys have done. They don't live up to what other guys have done. They pay to what a team thinks they're worth, and they always overpay in free agency.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just not as convinced that it'll be as much of a frenzy because of Mike Babcock as what maybe you think it might be. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe McClellan will get, 5 years at $3.5 million and it'll be holy smokes. Yeah. That very well could be the case. But I think he'll be very well paid wherever he goes. I don't think it's going to be ridiculous. He'll probably ask for term. I mean, a 4-year deal or even a 5-year deal probably is in the range of what's fair to give him and what he'll look for. I mean, do coaches want 6-7-year deals? I mean, I don't know. It's one thing for a player, but
guaranteed money, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, but not really. I mean, you get let go, you can get fired at any point in time, and yeah, you're still getting paid. But now, for other teams to come and get you, you know, what does that compensation look like? Or, I mean, they want to keep working. You know, coaches want to keep working.
Yeah.
So they're not. I don't think they're looking for deals that take them deep into retirement, like players are. Coaches have a lot more. You know, they have more time to make their money if they're good at what they do. Players have such a finite amount of time. So I just think Todd McClellan's a smart guy. I think he's going to look for a situation that feels like a good fit, where he wants to be, gives him a chance to win, real good, fair contract value, and where he'll be appreciated and respected. And I think that'll be good enough for him. I don't think he's going to go somewhere where he might not want to go because they give him $4 million. I think for a coach, your longevity, I mean, you can be a player, go to a crappy team, never win anything, and still be considered a good player and sign a big deal somewhere. You want to be considered a good coach? You got to go win somewhere. You got to go put up lots of points somewhere. You got to go accomplish something. So for him to secure future earnings, there's nothing individual about his job. There's no metric other than team wins to judge a coach by. So you have to go where you've got a chance to pump up your numbers and have success. So going to a crappy organization where you don't have a whole lot of chance to win during the life of your four-year deal, well, what good have you done yourself?
Yeah, well, then you can make the argument coming here is a question mark. So, Shar, we got to go. Have fun at the game tonight.
Okay, pal. Take care.